Welcome. Hi.
Hello.
In the heat. We've done well. So, we're just going to have a conversation. I'm going to learn much more about you. Obviously, I know you. We know each other. Look, I've known you forever in different forms, different shapes, but now you're like a novelist. What is that? Where did it start? How did you wake up? You're just like, how did that happen? How did you start writing?
I don't know. It's always funny when they say, "How did you start?" Because when I was younger, I like to say it started with me in like loving to read, loving books, from as young as I can remember. But also in secondary school, I think we were, it was nice to be able to do literature, I think from year 8. So from the time I was 12 to the time I was 17, I was in the tradition, you'd say. So took literature, really enjoyed it. I think it came naturally. And then we also had to do
Look,
creative writing.
with literature, you either love it or there's no, or hate it. There's no halfway from what I've seen.
So it was always a fave. It always just came very naturally. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I enjoyed just, it was the characters, it was the settings, it was the dilemmas, and whatever it was, I just always enjoyed plunging into a new world. And we took creative writing, so every week we'd have to write a short story and edit each other, and so it, in a way, it always was there. And as a child as well, I like to say that, when we'd visit my grandparents' place, which is very far away then, in the middle of Chinsali, you maybe cannot speak Bemba as fluently as everyone else. Okay, yes, you can go and play outside, but
Have to be
but
careful.
I think my grandparents were kind enough to have, like, my grandfather's office was full of books, and so you'd be far out. There was no TV, there was no radio those days. Lots of cousins, but you had this room to escape into and just read and enjoy again lots of different worlds. So I think later, as an adult, I thought I'd put it aside, gone into my career and parenting,
And of course,
and I thought it had just been something I just liked when I was young, but I didn't think it would be something I
and
could.
career was more in the marketing kind of field.
Absolutely. Because even when I think back, like in my school, high school results, my highest results were history and literature. But there was no, it wasn't an, it was never an option. Like there wasn't a pathway that said, oh, maybe go this way. It was sort of like law, engineering, accounting at that time. So I had really put it aside and thought it was just something I liked and forgot about it. And then one day in my full-time now banking career, very strange, but I woke up one afternoon with a really deep, like a sudden impetus to just write. And when I did, the character in my first book, who opens the pages, Margaret, she just came to me. It was so weird, and I just had to let it out. So I started, and then long story, but yeah,
So
it
how does it
just
start?
went
You, you,
one thing to
how
the
does it
next.
start? You're thinking about it, you're dreaming about it, you're writing, handwriting. Do you get into a laptop? How does it work? Like you have to just get it out. How?
In that case, yes, I just needed to. But what ended up happening was then suddenly, I think I typed away for like a week or whatever, and I suddenly had a 5,000 word short story, and I put it away because I didn't think things like that had a home or a place, an outlet, or
So the story,
so I put it away.
you there's a character and you give off her life or her journey.
Well, to some extent, I think in the beginning, especially for long form work, it's sort of like maybe you'll see a snip of something. I think even now, what forms the first biggest scene in Nobi from here, when she walks down the house to the pool, you can only see that far. I mean, I didn't
How
have
much of
all of
that
it.
is your real your experience or your life?
Margaret's nun, grandmother Margaret. I wouldn't say. So I wouldn't say directly is my own experience, but I will say that I think over time and growing up, you were always fed stories, particularly in our case, maybe of people from the past, or you always have those like, rogue aunties or grandmas, whatever, like who are legend, they become like, it's like,
We
yeah,
know
like there's
them.
always that story.
We
And
know
I
them.
think we subconsciously store those. So they definitely influence or come through my work one way or the other. Or maybe what will I call it? Like collective, sometimes you have a collective, I won't call this stereotype, but maybe you see repeated patterns within society, and sometimes that can come as a character.
And then how does your blended background fit into this? Like you're from two different parts of Africa, two extremely different parts of Africa. Mm. How does that play a role there in your experience, in your writing?
Certainly in my first work. Mm. As I say, when I did, have this sudden impetus, I keep saying, I call it that. I don't know how else to, or motivation to begin this story. The first thing it definitely was a need to merge those worlds into a page where I could see it. Mm. So to summarize, it's sort of like all your life, you've had this world and that world. And maybe also now as a young adult, I started to also think of my grandparents for some reason on both sides of my family, who would have grown up, would have been in very different worlds.
Right.
But around the same time, the same eras.
Right.
And I suddenly had these burning questions, what was it like in their time? Why did my grandfather migrate in the 50s? Why did my grandmother migrate in the 50s? What was it like for my grandparents on this side and the freedom struggle in the 50s and so on and so forth? And therefore, yes, it was a direct impact on my work and a need for me to reconcile the worlds, and fiction helped me do that. Yeah.
Do you visit Nigeria?
Well.
Or West Africa?
It's been a while.
Okay.
West Africa in general, yes. I've also worked for West African Bank before. Yeah. But Nigeria, I specifically went to see my grandparents around the time that I was writing my first work.
Oh, nice.
And it was a truly amazing experience. And it also did feed into the work. It influenced it in a lot of ways. I think the settings, the food and the smells and a lot of the emotions.
Yes.
Of the return, to call it.
I always talk about, I'm a foodie, we all are, but just the relationship between food, smells and culture, it all just blends.
And code, they call it code switching.
Do they?
The accent, and the words we use, the everyday, our habits, yeah. Yeah. So it's lovely, I guess, maybe because then you're always observing, right?
Yes.
And that's the other world.
Yes.
Yeah. So it does influence then, because you maybe see more than someone who's not observing. Maybe they're just in their everyday world. Yeah. But I think it does give you an ability to.
So are you consciously, do you think you're now become a, because you're now, you've taken the writing as the storytelling as your new path or part of your way forward. Do you think you're now more conscious about observing? Are you conscious that, you might just be sitting in a cafe? Do you think like, oh, story?
Or? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But not just, I think in the initial stages, it was observing maybe manners of speech or behavior or patterns in the way a person thinks. But now, certainly, it's a lot more observing of emotion, of the way we see the world, of why things are the way they are. So, yeah, you're constantly in that.
And how do you think we've evolved as a continent in terms of creativity like that? We've woken up to this. It's become more obvious over the last 20 years, I should think. Mm. In Zambia, more recently. Do you think we've got a platform to allow creatives to grow? Is there a platform, would you say to a young person, go for it, there's a platform that can let you, can allow you to excel, look at what you've done. Is it an encouraging
platform? It's definitely been evolving, and now even more rapidly. We've got a continent and a country where the base of our pyramid is youth, right?
Yes.
So not everyone is going to be able to do your sort of traditional 8-to-5s. I hate to sound cliche, but that just is what it is.
Yeah.
The facts speak for themselves. But what it does mean also is now we have audience.
Yes.
Of our own, which maybe before you'd say, before you had Zambezi Magics and making our own shows like Zuba, the question always was, but do we have the numbers to sustain? And now it's amazing to see that we one, absolutely, do have the numbers. Do. Two, yeah, it's like this big rolling thing that's only going to continue getting bigger.
Yeah.
But also for the creatives, it's the new currency. It's the new oil. It's whatever you want to call it. It's the new, it is the new currency, both for individuals and for countries. Mm-hmm. So I would say, yes, there is a platform. Yes, there are a lot of challenges. It's not, again, traditional. It's not like you get paid every 20th of the month. Yeah. But if we're able to embrace it, and even from a policy level, if we're able to support our artists, I think one thing I did come to find that I wasn't ready was in many circumstances, you now become almost a diplomat of sorts, because you know, you're invited to panels in different countries. People want to hear your opinion. They want to hear what things are like in your country. So it's much bigger than just us. I think when we're first doing it, it's very intimate. It's sort of like just a reaction. But for countries, for Africa, it's a big global playing field. So
no, that's really, yeah, awesome. And I think we had a conversation earlier about this as well, where it's like, okay, we're there, we're ready. We need, again, it's about policy as well, supporting. Mm. We can keep going, but it needs to now be like, you know, captured.
Yes, structured.
Structured.
Yeah, but what I have seen from a continent perspective, I think there are more options, even from a financing perspective, of how to channel the finances, you know, also in the private sector. But yeah, we've really got to get public and private playing together, as well as pan-African sort of engagement. And I think for me, as I said in the beginning, when I first wrote this story, my first short story was terrible, by the way, I didn't mention. I really was like, where do I take this? And fortunately for me at the time, I think a competition for Zambia Women Writers Association came out, supported by the Chinese government. And we were invited to write into an anthology. So that was my first experience that, okay, this does happen. Then I met other authors, which is another next step. And then you meet other publishers. And beyond that, I started to think, oh, if that can happen here, there must be something in Africa. And to my surprise, there was these amazing opportunities for young African writers, such as Short Story Day Africa, who published me in 2019, mm-hmm, sent workshop facilitators for writers in Zambia, Botswana, and Malawi, if I'm not mistaken. And that was absolutely world-changing, even skill, everything. It just sort of turned everything around. So if we do have those platforms, both in-country and Pan-African, I think it really can help.
So do you think workshops like that, I can't even call it workshop, obviously, mm-hmm, much bigger than that, would you say that they really allowed you to develop and create what we have here? Mm-hmm. Like the input was so amazing.
Well, it was a short one.
Yeah.
But example, what I did do was, again, form community. So I didn't know we had a writing community.
Yeah.
And suddenly I'm in a writing community.
Apparently, yeah. I was hearing about it this morning as well.
So that's really, especially for an artist alone, literary arts at the time, there wasn't much going on. So when you do find your counterparts, like-minded people, that makes a huge difference. That particular workshop, again, they're short, but what they do for you is you've got a published, an African best-selling sort of published author explaining to you his story. And just, I think at the time he was lecturing in Germany, and suddenly his opportunities that have opened up for him from his work are open to you, yeah, right? So, but before you meet or engage other people like that, you won't really know. And if you're in isolation, then your work will be in isolation. So it can be. And then in skill also, it's great to have them going, because you've got somewhere to go and work on your craft and improve and exchange your work and see what else.
Well, I guess, you know, the world has become so much smaller, mm, literally because of the digital world and that, where people wouldn't have had those opportunities before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're sitting and writing and reading alone, but now it's become so fast and so small. So that's really awesome. Tell me a little bit about Copa Monstera. Tell me a bit more about that.
Thank you. So Copa Monstera is a publishing house that I've registered here.
Right.
At first it was to publish my work, but the bigger picture is to speak to exactly what I'm speaking about, that you know, how do we answer the question, I think, which I had as a young upcoming writer at the time, through providing the right spaces, workshops that can assist other writers. But more than that, how do we publish a whole lot of other voices that we know are there? But especially, I'm speaking specifically for fiction. Mm-hmm. Because I think in Zambia, I'm not sure what the stats are, we have quite a lot of output on the sort of autobiographical, business, motivational side of things. But I'll call myself a fiction advocate. We're lacking a lot there in output, and we need a lot more support. And sometimes fiction is not taken as seriously as nonfiction, but truly it is very healthy for any social space, economy, political space, to have a healthy fiction culture, because it allows freedom of speech in a way that maybe is not direct, but people are able to see. Feel the temperature of society through those pages. So A Copper Mystery is basically there to do that. And just begun, but yeah.
And how does it work? Is it online? Is it?
So at the moment, no. Really intellectual property at the moment. But we have had our first. So as Copper Mystery itself, it's sort of been through when I had very little resource. And it really was through the work I was doing. I wanted to learn how it worked. I wanted to learn how publishing worked. I wanted to learn how you grow your network, again, both in country, in the continent, abroad. So while I had registered it, I also was going through my own journey, which I think the whole point is that at the time that we're ready, we're now able to do the same with other writers from here. So not much has happened yet, but we have recently done our first project, which will be coming out next year. So it's an anthology that we've called for short stories with the theme women and money. Mm. And we've had our first 12 authors announced, and we're super excited about that. Okay. But we will be seeing a lot more coming out next year and onwards.
So tell me, I'm going to pick up your book here now, which is stunning.
There you go.
And Even If the Stars Should Fall. Mm. Stunning.
Thank you.
Tell me about the publishing world here, though. I mean, I know you don't publish here at the moment, but this is you trying to also advocate for all of that.
I do publish here. So public, just because it's not printed, it doesn't mean it's not published here.
Sure.
True. Maybe my model is, like you said, I think the time I started was just around pre-COVID and then COVID time. Mm. So it was really about building teams on a particular project, such as editors, designers, both in country and outside. As long as they write for the project, they understand the work, or they get it, and they're good at what they do. So yeah, I took advantage of online markets for publishing, but also like the book you're holding, that cover is done by Mr. Patrick Mumba.
Yeah,
the original art piece. So. And the photo in the back is done locally. So it's a blend. I found a way that my aspiration is to create work that can sell at home and can sell outside, but I'm still able to produce it from home.
Nice.
So, yeah.
So when you write something, there must be somebody you go to and like, please have a look at this, and let me know in a couple of weeks. Yeah. Who is that person?
I have quite a few. Yeah, especially for a project as big as this one. I had a lot of
like these are people readers. Who you look up
but
to.
Certainly, first, my mother, especially when it's historical. Her sisters.
Yes.
That goes without saying. And yeah, they will pull it out. They'll be like, whoa, that especially with the historical. But there's no way you could do that without that previous generation, right? So, but also they care,
right.
They care about the work. So they're not going to like sugarcoat it. Samba, Yonga,
yes.
Poor thing. She's had to go through some really terrible drafts. But I think our common love for history and storytelling in whatever forms it is allows us to do that. For my first book, I had to also have a Jamaican reader. So Denise Clark read for me. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember quite a few. So I'm not, what's the word? I'm not extremely guarded with it once I feel I can share it. And I'm open to feedback. So I actually owe them a lot, you know, because I especially like this one, it was years and years of redrafts and rewriting. So it's
nice.
Yeah, I do share it ahead of time.
And then in terms of writers that you look up to, what are you reading right now?
Funny, what am I reading? And I have, so it's interesting.
After, and when do you read?
I've not been able to read this yet. I've tried. But after 4 years of like writing and reading, and I was doing my MA in creative writing during the COVID. So that meant a gazillion titles and movies though, and theater and music. Like I take from different art forms. I don't know. This year, I've not been able to read or write. But on my bedside, I have Ayobami Adebayo's new book, which was Booker listed, I believe. Mm-hmm. I've got Ta-Nehisi Coates.
On the bedside.
I'm not sure how you say his name.
On the bedside.
Yep. That's about the Deep South. I've been trying to get through. I actually got through Yellowface, funny enough. But... it wouldn't be my typical read. I don't know if you've heard of Yellowface, but it's interesting. It's about a writer who's plagiarized her dead friend's work. So normally I'll sort of like do the heavier stuff. I love Chimamanda Adichie. I always read. And if I'm not reading physically with a page in my hands, I will have my audio in either in my ears or in my car. But I will be in Audible. Oh, yes. Arundhati Roy's God of Small Things. But that's on audio. I keep playing it back. It's really beautiful. So I'm always. So
it's a really nice blend because you see, we still can't. There's nothing more beautiful than an actual book, really. But now we have to blend it because our lives are so busy.
Yes.
You really probably don't have the time to get through this in a, you know, in a week or whatever.
Yeah.
So I love that. And are you on audio with your books?
My first book. So this one. It's only in Zambia,
mm-hmm.
and if it goes into international markets, then
right.
discussions no about option, audio yeah.
you
and
have to.
Other options come. Yeah. But my first book, yes, it is on Audible. It's very proud moment, but yes, it's on Audible. And I have another short story that was published with Harper Via, but an anthology. In an anthology, it's called Her Sweet Tea, Her Sugar Cane, which was nominated for the Ngoma Awards last year as well.
Okay.
That's on Audible too. So in a book called Relations.
Okay. So when we talk about Zambian authors other than yourself,
mm-hmm.
if I had to go into a bookstore today,
yeah,
who would you advise me to read to like pick that up right now?
I'd advise you to read as widely as you can in anything Zambian right now,
mm-hmm.
and have an open mind. So I really avoid being like, pick that one or pick this one or pick that one. But certainly, if you can, go and find an Ingrid Nayame or Muvanga Kalima Mukwento. Mbozi has been published by Short Story Day Africa, but I'm certain I've heard she's got a novel coming out, but she writes extremely, like, beautifully. Mm. And I don't want to leave anyone out, honestly. But there is such a range of writers now. And if you have a chance, please just explore as much as you can. Buy as many Zambian books as you can. And I think there's something special about growing with your author, right? Like growing with your audience.
Mm.
I guess it's the same for visual artists.
Mm.
When you start a certain way and then you grow. And I mean, even I guess music is the same thing. Mm. So I think it's important that we support each
other. What does your Christmas day look like? Who are you going to be listening to? What are you going to be feeling? Where's the fun? Maybe not Christmas festivity time.
My kids always first. Yeah. Lots of family. Yeah. You know, Zambian way, we have to have chicken somewhere. There's chicken in all, like roast, there's stew, there's, it's family, it's food, it's music. Yeah. I always have a playlist on, like it's,
yeah.
And then we just make sure we exchange meaningful gifts. And I think now that where I am is more like making my kids go through the actual product of, you know, which family member are you getting what for? And I wanted to think about it. So it's surprising always and exciting. But yeah, it's family time.
Yeah, it's so nice with the blend. And then we've got our own tradition and the, you know, different traditions all coming together.
Yeah.
That's because I wanted to try and understand the fun side of Natasha, the light side of Natasha. So is there another side I need to explore?
Always. Always. I mean, life would be so boring if we were just like bland, like one flat thing. So no, there are different versions to me.
Of course there are. So today we've managed to get to one layer. Next time I'm going to get to the other layer. Something totally different.
Yeah. No, it's nice. And I think just, I don't know, it's such a blessing, I think, to grow up in a city where, you know, we've all seen each other since we were little. We've all seen, as you say, in our different forms and shapes, you know, our shape shifting is kind of cool. And there's a great privilege in that, in our community, and sort of like having seen each other through all the various ways, you know, life could present itself to you. So,
and actually, you're quite right, actually, because you wouldn't see that in a New York or in a like a really busy, buzzing city. Hmm. You wouldn't see that, you know. You grow up with people, but you've grown up with them, but you don't see them. You don't see, but with us, we can actually see these things other. Happening.
Yes.
It's great.
True.
Yeah.
But then you see, that becomes a story.
There we go.
Story. It becomes a story. It feeds what we start to express, you know, later. So, yeah.
If you had to say, who would you immediately just say, I'm so thankful as we close. Mm-hmm. I'm so thankful for this person. For my journey, who would that be?
My mom. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, my mom's. I came from mothers.
Yes, yes, you did. I know that.
I came from mothers, real like moms.
Yeah.
But my mom, actually my mother's, like I have to say all of them, have been so instrumental and extremely supportive, tough, but always there. And you know, never ridiculed when I said, look, I'm in, you know, finance, but I'd like to try and write a book. Yeah. What would that look like? Especially in that time. Now I think it's a lot more open. So, but also just the way they live their life. So I feel it's always been more of a show, don't tell with them. Mm-hmm. I've been privileged to see them through various seasons and sort of, you know, see them rise each time and rise again and rise again. And in their own way of, you know, the way they relate with each other and with us, there's so much to learn from. It's not so much what has this one said to you, a one-on-one. It's more the example. Mm. And the like, as I keep saying, this long span of life, right? And seeing them in all of the different beautiful, sad, hard, seasons. Easier seasons. So
nice.
It's my mother's.
Nice. What's your next season going to look like?
I have no idea, Tana. But I'm so excited. I'm super, 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 super stoked. Like
That's great, actually. Great. That's really good for somebody who just says, I don't know.
I don't know.
And it's okay.
But we're good.
We like it. Yeah. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.